Howdy, folks. It's Widget Walls from NeedCoffee.com here. So listen, yes, this episode of Weekend Justice is extraordinarily late. Here's why. There was some sort of strange problem with the audio that for the first hour and a half or so basically made all of us sound like that we were calling into the call through a CB radio and talking on that CB radio in a truck that was going over a range of different speed bumps with no shock absorbers. So it was pretty screwed up. But it was a good show, so I didn't want to lose the show. So what I did is I went through and cleaned up the audio as best I could. The first hour or so, I trimmed some stuff out too, so it wouldn't go on for too terribly long like that. But the first hour or so, the audio quality is not perfect, and for that I apologize. It sounded worse before I started performing surgery on it. So, so you will hear it start to get better, and then eventually, it sounds relatively normal. We have no idea, what caused that. So that is what's going on. That is why we are late. Sorry about that. We'll have a better backup in place, and, I blame myself. So, there you go. Hope you enjoy the show. I hope that the Franken podcast that it has turned into, was worthwhile. So have fun and remember, kill and contain.
My dad said getting to Area 51, my dad, okay. My dad worked for, the government. Oh, kind of. He worked for Finger Lakes. My dad was a tech writer. And one time, it was so funny, we were watching TV, and it was some sort of alien, horrible documentary. And my dad was, like I said, a tech writer, and he wrote these technical manuals for flight simulators. So he worked on pretty much all the Apollo programs, and I think one of his last projects was like the C-130. So, you know, you need to write these books so that they can train people, you know, insert slot A type thing, you know, tech manuals. So there was a time he was going out to Vegas, you know, this is when we were kids. And so anyway, later on, I turned to my dad. This is why I went to college, kids. Because my other brothers went into the military. And I turned to my dad, and we're watching this alien documentary. And I said, so, Dad, did you ever work on alien technology? Just like that. And my dad gave me a look. It was either, oh, my God, my kid is fucking stupid, or let me think of something really quick.
And I'm going to go with number two. If you're dad, I'm going number two.
So my dad's like, you know, most of the time that, you know, when a plane comes out, when it finally hits, you know, any noticeability, he's like, everybody knows about it. Every single military, you know, every single government knows about it. What my dad used to do, he used to take, people would give him like top, you know, paper that said top secret. Okay. So what he would do, make a copy. White out the word top secret, copy it, and then just leave it on his desk because it's like nobody's going to look for it. And my dad learned a really cool thing about, you know, like making up memos that who knows where they generated, because he would send top, you know, memos to the top people at this company, Singer Link, And it always sounded like it came from top brass and stuff. So it's like, oh, we need to start doing this. And so my dad was like, you know, upper, you know, senior tech writer, and they didn't know where all these, you know, memos were coming from. Anyway, he said that getting into Area 51 was very expensive because you flew into Vegas. Then you went into like this plane. It was all darkened, and even though it was like, I don't know, like a 10-minute flight, they were using all of this stuff. See, that was Area 51 calling. They just disconnected.
I'm sorry. John, did you mean to disconnect us?
No, that wasn't him.
It wasn't me.
That wasn't him.
Oh, okay.
It was the government.
Yeah. Hey, Lee?
Hi, Widget.
Hi, are you on wireless?
I am, because my husband took away all the cords, so I will go get a wire, and then he can get it when he gets here. So give me just a minute.
Okay, cool.
Just give me a minute.
All right, so Rox, while she's gone, you should tell us all about the real Area 51, because I know they serve pizza.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, my dad told me.
I meant to say this. Has anybody else seen Aaron's short video? Short movie?
The Wave It Up? Which one?
Yeah, Wave It Up, right? The what? Wave It Up or another one?
Yeah, that's no. The whale thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. Okay, so I was the only person that had not seen that until Dragon.
Yeah. Yeah. We support our friends.
I didn't know we put it up. I didn't know we put it up anymore.
Oh, wow.
I will say, John, at some point during the Fun Fest, probably should have shot me through the head, but didn't. I consider that support.
Okay.
Why should John have shot you during the Fun Fest?
So I was making John make that face.
I can say these things.
So no, it it's really good.
And not that
I shouldn't sound like I'm surprised, but it was.
That's okay, John. When I saw it, I was surprised, so that's okay.
We're all surprised by our grand.
But I don't know exactly why he hasn't entered it into some competitions or something. Because it was
he hasn't? I thought he had.
Had he?
I thought
so. Another thing I don't know.
You all dropped off.
You know what's a preoccupation for all of people of Ireland. If they make films, they enter it into contests. Don't you know? It's the one way they get money from Great Britain.
Well, and what's great is that it isn't there,
the film.
Yeah, if you're trying to enter from Ireland, because there's only 14 people there, you have a pretty good shot.
Mm-hmm. So there was a rat in my house. I think I told you this a couple weeks ago, right? Remember the banging on the wall?
Yes.
Okay. This rat attacked me personally. Not me personally.
Wait a minute.
It climbed on my bike, and it chewed off my leather hand grips on my bike.
Uh-oh.
It's now personal. So now it is time for poison.
Now,
rat, you pissed her off, man. It's your fault.
These are $50 hand grips.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I think all rats should die. So I'm not disagreeing with you here.
Now, Rox, I will say this. I will say that, now, that's very true. I know you have a lot of experience with poison. But, and you know, it's funny. We're talking about rat and poison. What the hell was that?
I have no idea.
Not me.
I was just going to say, we could be talking about Tuffley's music collection. But, what in the hell is happening?
Ooh.
Okay, now I'm freaked out. I didn't remember what the fuck I was going to say. Oh, no, Rox, I was going to say, I know you have a lot of experience with poison, but there are some of those kind of all-enclosed mouse traps that basically look like little huts. Yeah, well, yeah, it's basically like a little hut that they come into, and then it snaps shut on them. And I was using them because we had really small mice that were getting in, because of course our house is old and it couldn't be mistaken for Swiss cheese. But no, so regular flat out wooden mouse traps, they would just they couldn't trigger them. But this, they worked really well. And, it's kind of nice because you just pick it up, look in and go, yep, that's some fur, toss it.
All right, what's it called?
Let me look it up. I will look it up and let you know. But it's
don't use it. People do not use the sticky trap
thing. Oh, yeah, no.
You know what? Here's what happened one night a couple years ago is I had one set out and I had them strategically placed. And the rat got stuck in like one of them, like two legs or something, and it tumbled down the stairs going crack. And I'll tell you, they make a lot of noise when they're caught. It's just horrible. And then you're like, oh, I don't want to touch you. You'll bite me and cry.
Well, yeah. And then you got a mouse that's like alive and.
Yeah,
that's not good. We were about to get that desperate, but we found these things instead. I'll figure out what the hell they're called.
But yeah, they would just keep the cheese off of the regular.
Actually, I don't even need to do that. I'll just put a piece of what's left of, you know, my bike hand grip and just throw it in there. Here you go. Finish
nice.
Up. Yeah. See, and the thing is, this is the worst part, is the hand grips that I bought for $50 are now $65.
Oh, shit.
So you need to take and it out in rat hide.
Yeah, so I'm like...
Rat hide!
So, because they have bands, and now they have the whiskeys. It's like, really? I like the bands in it.
So, Rocks, they're called Kill and Contain.
Kill and Contain. I'm writing that down.
Yes. Handy.
Put that in your show notes, too.
I shall. Ha-ha! I shall with an Amazon link. You, too, can kill mice and give us money.
Contain. All right.
So Rob, what's your status currently? Because you're on the road.
Yeah, I'm in. I just got to Seattle.
Uh-huh. Yay, Seattle. Yeah. Awesome place.
Yes. So I haven't been here in like 10 years. And Janet had never been here. And then we'd already been to Portland. And then we did about more time in the Salt Lake City airport than a human being should have to endure. So,
yeah.
If you fly over Salt Lake City and you see how cool the lake is and how it's eaten into the ground and geologically how cool it is, that is all you need to see of Salt Lake City. Because any place you have to buy a membership to buy a beer, I am not about.
What? Huh?
So, well, like, if you want to go to a bar in Salt Lake City, right, they have these member bars. So you go to a bar and you have to buy a membership. So, like, I'm sorry, for members only. If you have to buy a membership, it's like a cover, except it's a membership.
Hang on, Rob, did you have to convert to Mormonism to get a beer?
No. My master plan was, which I've now called the Fetch Up Gambit, is that when you get off the plane, right, they don't have a wives store, which really bothered me, and they don't have, like, anything remotely interesting to do. But you get off the plane, and the guy, and with all due completely, completely religious respect, like, whatever people believe, I'm down with it. That's fine. But I hate it when I get off a plane and I'm bothered. I don't care if the guy's selling me luggage or whatever, right? So the guy comes up to me. He's very nice. He says, "Can I give you something to read?" I said, "What is it?" He goes, "Have you read the Book of Mormon?" I said, "Have you read my fanzine, Derelict? It'll change your life." And he walked away.
Yay. Oh,
fantastic.
Yay.
So, yeah. All right, Rox, are you sitting down?
Yes, actually.
I read, when I was in Portland, they had the Time-Based Arts Festival.
Right.
So, we know what's going on. We did a couple things. We're walking by the old Portland Theater to go to the Art Museum, and there's a big sign that says, Laurie Anderson tonight, 7:30. Right? So, Janet and I got to see Laurie Anderson, right?
Wow.
And I'd seen her before, but Janet had never seen her.
Wow.
The great thing about Laurie Anderson's thing is that, first of all, if you can look it up online, she did this large spoken word thing about her dog dying and just what it meant to her, that it wasn't funny or anything. It was really serious. And then apparently Laurie Anderson would test out all of her sound stuff to see how it worked on her dog. So she showed YouTube videos of her dog, like, playing the piano, and apparently she had, like, some kind of a teacher that teaches pets how to play piano, like cats and dogs. So they showed her dog playing the piano, and then they showed her dog playing, like, weird piano, right? And so that was cool. And then after the show, I went back, and I got boxes in my head. I was lucky. I just happened to bring my KDHX business cards with me. And I said, "Hey, with the radio station, is there any kind of a meet and greet or anything?" And they're like, "No, not really." I said, "Okay, not a problem." And the thing is that we didn't plan on going back to the hotel, so I had to take the games with me. I had them with me. So I saw the guy, but is anybody here with the tour? And he goes, "I'll go get you somebody." So he goes to get somebody. This guy comes out. I said, "Are you the production manager?" He said, "Well, I'm the house manager for the theater, but I'm about to go see the tour manager." He's like, "If I give you something, if I give you this, will you hand it to Laurie Anderson? It's not explosive. It's not pornography. Just give it to her. It's artistic." He said, "I'll see what I can do." So that's as much as I know. But the point is, I tried to get one to Laurie Anderson.
That's pretty cool.
I can't guarantee she got it. Most likely she looked at it and threw it in the trash. But Laurie Anderson looking at it and throwing it in the trash is better than most people reading it.
That's true.
And even if she didn't get it, I at least made the attempt. So I don't honestly know if she got it. So that's the downside.
Do you know the cool thing? Laurie Anderson's like my hero, and the reason I picked the title artist in resident for NeedCoffee.com is because she was the first and last artist in residence for NASA.
Yes.
Huh. So that's why I chose artist in residence as my title for NeedCoffee.
I've got an interview. I've got an interview with her. I don't know if I used, but if I have it, if I can find it, we can put it in the zine.
Oh, okay.
But no, I mean, it was a unique piece that she only did for that festival. And But the funny thing is, she set the stage up where she basically had a couch and a microphone and then her keyboards on the other side with her violin and whatever. And she had a bunch of little small hand candles. So about an hour and a half in the show, all the fire alarms go off, right? So she's like, all these candles, set that off. Can you fix that? So somebody's fixing it. So she basically went off script, right? So she's off script trying to fix all this, right? And then she's like, you know, let's just let that go. And then after a while, she's like, you know, it kind of bleeds in with my background music. She's like, why didn't I do a piece about fire alarms? And then she talked about how she got paid to write an opera. And somehow the piece ended up being a wood carving about potatoes. She goes, that's how my mind works, so I'm really sorry. And then just as she starts playing the electric violin in tune with the fire alarm, it shut off. And then she went back and did the show. It was really funny.
Nice.
So, no, that was great. Because, I mean, I loved it. And I haven't seen her in like 10 years. I haven't seen her since the Homeland Tour.
Yeah, that's when I saw her. Wow.
But no, it was awesome. I tried. So, yeah. And Portland rocks as an entire city that you built.
It is. I would agree
totally
with that.
Roxville,
because we got off at the. Have you been there, Lee?
Roxville, this.
Yeah.
We get off at the airport, right? There's a place there where you can have your bike shipped to the airport and then pick it up and assemble, right?
Yep.
What?
Next to that, at the Portland airport, there's a little kiosk. Yeah, and then there was a guy next to that selling a balloon ride. I'm just like, okay. And Jeff's like, has Rox been here? So then we have to go over this 100-year-old steel bridge to go get to our hotel, which is awesome because it's like, yes, it's the Wilmette steel bridge. It's this like big, clunky old thing that looks like it's run by steam, which is hilarious. And then I emailed Liz, who gets the lead in clearly into this, because when I was at DragonCon, I heard you guys talking about Voodoo Donuts, but I thought it was an Atlanta thing, right?
No,
I didn't know. So I emailed Liz. I saw Voodoo Donuts. Should I go there? And he's like, dude, yeah. Because I almost didn't go because I was like, well, if it's a chain and they have one in Atlanta, why do I want to go? Lee would have told me if I should have went here.
No, I didn't know you were going to Portland. John and I both would have told you to go there. Well, when did you go?
Which time? Because it became a crack that was, and I'm not a donut guy. It became... Basically, Portland for me was coffee, beer, and donuts.
Yep.
I've had eating really good food, right? So, the first night I had the Cocoa Puffs on the chocolate donut. The second night I had the Marshall Mathers, right?
What's that one?
It's basically peanut butter, cream, and like a jelly thing put on it, like a white jelly. And then I had the Arnold Palmer, which is basically like a lemon. It's almost like a white lemon crossing. Oh, yeah. And then to go with that, later that night we went back because I needed something to eat. So I ended up getting an Old Dirty Bastard, which I was hooked on after that.
Aren't those amazing? Oh, my God.
Well, first of all, the fact that there's a donut called the fucking Old Dirty Bastard. I'm there, right? And so that was great. And then I went to a couple of record stores, went record shopping. I went to a record store, and I walk in, and I'm there about 30 minutes. This woman comes up. She's like, how are you? And I'm like, I'm great. And she's like, I think I told Rich this story. But she's like, I just want you to talk to the manager, and we've given you a $30 credit because we love your work. And I'm like, I didn't even put out the zines yet, right? And I'm like, hey, do you listen to the podcast, or how do you, and she goes, hold on a second. So she comes back with a copy of Teenager of the Year by Frank Black and asked me to sign it.
So she thought you were Frank Black?
I'm like, Jesus, I'm not that fat and old, Jesus. So,
she's like, what did she think?
She's like, you look younger and thinner than any of your pictures. I'm like, yes, I do. So I'm like, so I have $30 in credit? She goes, yes. And I'm like, why don't you walk through and find $30 worth of things? She goes, yeah, if you sign my CD. And I'm like, God damn it. So, and I'm like, so have you heard the Pixies? And she's like, they're kind of okay. And I said, okay, sit right there. I'll be right back. So I said, Janet, go away for 5 minutes. This is one of those things that's going to drive you nuts. So I walked over to her. I said, so how did you, I was like, where did you get the Frank Black thing from? She's like, oh, well, I knew he was a character in Millennium, and I heard a couple of his albums, and I think his pop records are probably better than his stuff with the Pixies. I just have never really been able to understand the Pixies. I said, well, first of all, I'm going to do you a huge favor. I'm not Frank Black. And as much as I would love $30 and three-store record store credit, the karma would come back and kick my ass. I said, I just wanted you to know that. But you have to so me saving you from giving away $30 to your boss, you have to do two things. She goes, what? I go, you have to listen to a Pixies record. I will buy it for you if I have to, for the love of God. And then here are five copies of my zine. Take it to five of the most nerdy fucking people you know and give them out. That's all I ask. So, I just couldn't do it. I mean, karma-wise, it would have been bad, right?
Yes, it would have been.
It was fucking hilarious. It was fucking hilarious. I mean, this is weird. So...
Nice.
And then the next day, I'm with Powell.
And I was going to say, you need to get to Powell's, right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's me there. Oh, my God.
So, So, next day I'm with Powell's, and this guy comes up and goes, hey, can I ask you a question, man? And I go, yeah. He goes, you from Portland? And I said, no. And he goes, I've seen you. And I'm like, do you go to Dragon Con? Are you from St. Louis? Are you from the Midwest? And he's like, no. He's like, are you Frank Black? And I'm like, no, man, I'm not Frank Black. So twice, I don't know who's playing a joke on me, but it's not fucking funny. At first, I'm like, all right, what is Tuffy doing to me? And then what is Lee doing to me? So.
I didn't do it!
It was weird. Janet was just laughing her ass off. I'm like, no. I'm like, what the hell? But apparently, Frank Black has lost a lot of weight, and that's why everyone sees it. I'm like, okay, I gain it, he loses it. I see how this gets. But it was really funny. So. And outside of that, you know, if you ever go to Portland, beer.
Did you go to like one of the brew pubs or something?
Well, I was going to do one of the brew pub tours, but there was a guy on the plane. He's like, you know what? You could do the micro pub tours. But here's what he goes, I'm a bartender. Here's the 10 bars I would go to and the 10 beers I would drink.
There you go.
And then, which is great because we ended up yesterday, we went to the Gorge. And then we did like a hop on, hop off tour of Portland just to see all the shit we didn't get to see. And then Janet usually goes to bed early, so when she's going to bed, I'm like, okay, bar time. And then I'm doing bars. So, and I ended up meeting these Australian guys, but it was bad. Because Australians, they drink. You know, so pretty much, you know, the rule of the trip is that I always pretty much come stumbling in late at night, go to bed, wake up in the morning, have my leftover donut, my hangover was dead, and I was ready for the day. So pretty much, like most of us who are married, my wife will put up with my shenanigans as long as I'm functioning, alert, and listen to her, and don't do anything stupid.
There you go. Don't get arrested. Yeah. That's the rule. Don't get arrested.
No. I think everyone in Portland is tired of hearing about the zine, because the running joke was, hey, have you ever seen? So, you know. I think tonight, actually, we might go to the Cinerama, because they have a functioning Cinerama theater.
Oh, you're there? Are you there right now?
Yeah. Yes, that's what he's saying.
I must have missed that somewhere in the...
Well, Rob, I was telling you, if you're there now, if you have a car, you should take the drive. It's not a short drive, but it's not a ridiculously long one. And go to Mount St. Helens.
It's a long drive. Don't listen to her. It's a horribly, horribly long drive. It's a horribly, horribly uncomfortable drive.
It was not.
Well, I have a great uncle who's a volcanologist who has actually worked on not St. Helens. And when I was a little kid in 1980, when I was 12, he sent me a whole thing of volcanic ash, like in a jar. Back when you send powders in the mail, right? So we're thinking of doing that on Mount Rainier, one of those two. And then I've got a gig. I'm DJing a 40. This is kind of weird. I'm DJing a 40 night near Bremerton. And it's the bar where my mom met my dad in the 50s, and I'm DJing there this weekend.
Nice.
And, yeah. And
I
dug around to see if it was still standing, and it was. So I called the guy, and I said, what kind of stuff do you do? He's like, oh, we're pretty much a ballroom. So we do private weddings. We do events. A couple times a month, we do different stuff. I said, oh, okay. He goes, yeah, we have a 40 night once a month. Like, oh, I'd love to do one of those. Because I always talk to him. Like, I'll do it for free. Just, you know, pay my booze all night.
Your mom?
So I've been burning shit, like, yeah. So I'm doing, like, a 2-hour set of 40s music. We do have to send Scott, though, the Voodoo Donuts to try the cotton ball.
The cock and balls, it's huge. We actually saw, when John and I were there, we actually saw somebody order it.
Okay.
Why
were you in Portland with someone who's not your husband?
I am her husband. Haven't you learned that?
He's my cock. Yeah, he's my husband. What are you talking about?
Yeah, whatever.
Okay, we were at Serve's Way.
Oh, that's right. I didn't know you lived in Portland. That makes much more sense now. Okay.
Well, the wedding was in Portland. Okay. He doesn't currently live in Portland yet.
Not yet.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, now it makes sense.
Is that becoming official?
Huh? No.
Because I was.
Portland's a nice city. It's awesome.
It is very beautiful in certain places.
But see, I was thinking if you go to see Mount St. Helens, there are two wonderful places. There's the Sasquatch Museum, and there's the Wonders of the World, the Creationism Wonders of the World.
And two people not talking to each other in the backseat.
The other thing is we went to on the tour of I had an idea about writing this for the Zine Rock. We'll talk later. But we went to Bonneville Dam as part of this tour, which of course is named after Hugh Bonneville. And his dams are actually pretty awesome. But the guy on the bus is this really nice guy. He's doing a great tour. He's working his ass off. He's explaining to the 12 people on the bus how everything happened with the Ice Age, blah blah blah. And of course, there's two fuckers that are creationists that every 5 minutes are trying to tell him that the world did not happen. This did not happen millions of years ago because it was a flood. It's just like, oh, for fuck's sake, right? So the whole tour, these people are just going on and on. It was enough to, I completely understand people's, but really? 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 You think the dinosaurs walked into Portland thrice and just ate salmon out of the river? You really think that? Great.
Yes,
have a great day. And have a zine. So.
That zine would scare them.
So. Anyway. Sorry, I didn't mean to prattle on about my boring vacation.
Hey, did I ever
tell you? No, it's a fun vacation.
Did I ever tell you about what my uncle did to my mom? I know that.
Are we going to a dark place, John?
Is that legal?
Lee has heard the story, but it involves Mount St.
Helens. That doesn't make me feel any better, John.
It involves Mount St. Helens.
Is that a euphemism?
Well, that was her name. It was an invoker in Portland.
Nice. Well done, sir.
My uncle was a fire jumper back during Mount St. Helens. So he would, or smoke jumper, I guess they call them. These are the folks that would jump into where the fires had started in the woods and put them out. They would jump out of a plane and, basically put them out the fires that were stirred. How many times am I going to say the same premise over and over again? I'm not sure. Let's try it for a third time. So my uncle, he would jump out of planes and put out fires.
Now, is that called a smoke jumper, John?
I believe it is. Yes, sir. Yes. So what he did was he mailed my mother. This is back in the days before computers, when, cavemen wandered the earth. And dinosaurs roamed them with them, and so did Jesus Christ. Sorry. That's horrible. Anyway.
Going to hell.
I'm with you.
Probably. So he sent my mother a letter that basically said, yes, everything is fine. I'm okay. I hope all is well with you. The fire gets close sometimes at night, but for the most part, everything is safe. And then he went ahead and burned part of the letter off.
Oh, wow.
And put it in the mail. Also singed the outside of the envelope and mailed it. Because back then, again, as Rob pointed out, you could send powder and ashes and whatnot. And so, of course, this was also before the age of cell phones and everything else and everyone being connected. You know, back when there were pterodactyls in the air. And so what would happen? What happened is that my mom spent a week panicked that he was dead. They had no idea. Didn't hear from him. He didn't write anything again. He was writing about once every couple of days and then just all of a sudden stopped.
So wait a minute. So basically, he died and the fire posted his letter for him?
Well,
give this to my
sister. Yeah, right.
Well, the logic would dictate that, yes, you would not think that. However, you might think that, well, maybe he died and they found the letter and they mailed it anyway. Or that he put it in the post office.
See?
So anyway.
See how evil he was?
So, anyhow, it's the sulfur's relatives now.
No, he admits that his relative was kind of evil on that.
Turns out he's not dead. Story over.
So
the story's going absolutely nowhere. Hey Rob, what are you doing? You're in Portland, I understand?
Oh, it's a good story.
No,
it's a
good
story. It's kind of a downer.
No, but wait, I'm unclear about something. Was that smoke jumping is what he was doing, John? Is that what that was?
Yeah, what it was is that when Mount St. Helens erupted, there was lots of fires that started.
Right.
And so, you know, there weren't a lot of sophisticated vehicles or whatnot, so they would fly over the top of the forest, because there's forest and trees and stuff that are out there.
I understand
woods.
That exists out in the world, yes. I've seen pictures.
And so what they would do is jump out of the plane and put out fires.
Jesus.
And they were called smoke jumpers, Widge.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. You know, because there's nothing worse than a mountain arsonist.
Hey, Widge, did you know that Rob's parents didn't meet till they were in the 50s?
I did not know that. I thought that they had met, you know, somewhat earlier in a previous life.
No, apparently they were 50, according to Rob.
Oh, I see.
And this matters why now?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how old you...
I'll be 45 less than 2 months.
Rob is the Highlander. So.
Also, in that same trip to Portland, there was... I thought we were ignoring that. No, we're not ignoring that. Lee, do you know the whole story? Have you heard the whole story?
Heard the whole story, Nick, and I still thought we were ignoring it.
It's awesome. Lee's chatting. But anyway, during that trip out to Portland is when I had the awkward moment of having to explain to people that I cried at my dad and mom's wedding. They're like, why were you at your... dad and mom's wedding? How's this possible that you were the ring bearer at your dad and mom's wedding? I was like, because my dad isn't my biological dad?
That's just it. When you don't explain that to somebody.
everyone was like, oh, John, you're lying.
So, John, did you misunderstand what I said? Is that...
What? Your parents met in the 50s?
Yeah, I wasn't there when they met. I wasn't born yet.
You weren't born in the 50s?
No.
They were both 50 years old when they met. Is that what you're saying?
And there was smoke
jumpers. Never mind.
So,
forget it.
So,
never mind.
So when the other
smoke jumpers. I'm sorry.
I was going to point out that the reason the ring bearer story is that I was carrying the rings down the aisle to my mother and father, as far as I'm concerned, my mom and dad. As far as I'm concerned, okay. The bastard that left when I was three does not count. And I threw a fit when I got up to my mom, who was standing there, because I didn't have my camera, and I wanted my camera, and I needed my camera. I absolutely had to have my camera. And so I threw a fit, threw the rings in the air, the pillow with the rings. And, yeah.
So how did people say, why didn't you have, like, these little people? Because, they do things like that or show everybody their Barbie panties.
And then, adorably, the ring bearer for Serve and Mrs. Dr. Serve, he dropped the rings on his way down the aisle too. Fortunately, people become smart and started tying those things to the
pole. Yeah, John.
Playing to children.
And then the boy saw some smoke and he jumped out of the plane towards it.
And he put out the fire though with the ring.
Yes. Okay. And as he was singing Colt's hit Firewoman. Hey, Widge, I've got a combo for you that does not work.
A combo? What, a combo?
A combo.
Is this the snack that's like the crackers around the type of cheese? Is that a combo or
those?
That would be awesome.
Those.
What about a Mortal Kombat fight combo? What kind of combo?
It's an alcohol combo.
Oh,
it's still awesome.
This is important.
By the way, those combos in general do not work.
Yeah.
Meaning the pretzel cheese filled thing.
No, those are nasty. Don't eat those.
Cherry Smash bourbon from it's National Bourbon Month from what's it called? Jeremiah Weed. Yeah, Jeremiah Weed. Chased with Samuel Adams Oktoberfest.
Okay.
Horrible idea. It makes Oktoberfest taste like Barbie panties.
Wow.
Which, I don't want to know how you know what Barbie panties taste like, by the way.
Well, there was this wedding I went to, and there's...
This is a dark place.
It's always a dark place, John.
So, alright, so Rob, take us away from the panties, please. What were you going to say?
Well, really quickly before I go, because I could have did it, but John has given me a great idea for the Z's.
Oh, Christ.
Not for the zine, but for Dragon Con. Glock and I could do Night of a Thousand Fist Bumps, but use the same techniques they use with smoke fighters, and that we could find a way to come down from the ceiling and fist bump people from the air above them. That would be epic.
Hey, hey, Rob, are you outside right now?
Yes, I am.
Is there a homeless person anywhere nearby?
No, actually.
John, tell him to do that.
They're all crappy guys in suits, actually.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It was weird because, like, normally we stay in cheap hotels and stuff, right? And this time, the cheapest hotel was actually a chain hotel, right? And so we walk in, and they're like, I just got off a fucking train, right? I'm tired. I'm barely sleeping. And I come in, and they're like, the first words out of their mouth is, we don't have a public restroom. And I'm like, guess what? You're going to be your manager right now.
You know what?
So now we got a room upgrade. Because that's part of the reason, John, why you called and I didn't call you back. Because I was screaming at somebody. So
I would have been screaming at somebody, too. Yeah. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, that's just, come on, guys.
That's ridiculous.
Just because a guy comes in a little bit of a black shirt. Because I can do a black shirt and black pants, it does not mean he wants to use your bathroom and people for change.
Wait a minute. What is the name of this hotel? Because apparently I can go there and get a room upgrade, it sounds like.
I'll leave it on you, the instrument.
Or they will let you use the bathroom anytime you want now.
And because of the way I've gone with Jana on work trips, and because of my nights at Dragon Con, I'm in like this hotel stay club. So I've qualified for, like, the gold status in this particular chain.
Yeah.
So it's, like, not only, that, but I'm also, like, it's like, when you have a shitload of frequent flyer miles. It's kind of like that, because we use it for business, right? And if you accrue, like, 15 rooms a year or whatever, well, if you're DragCon sick right there, and then Janet uses it and she has to travel and maybe go out of town for a wedding, we've hit that. So it's like, oh, yeah, it was nice. Sometimes it feels good to unleash upon the stupid.
Well, speaking of which, are there any homeless people around you now?
No, it's Seattle. Everybody's homeless, except they're called hipsters.
Wait, you're in Seattle now?
Yeah.
Yes, he said that.
When did I miss
that? You're not listening. You're not listening. Are you sure you're not freaking?
But Voodoo Donuts, oh my God. The only thing I wish, though, is I wish they'd do a donut with curry on it. just to try it.
Well, I also like the Tang Fastic. Any donut that you sprinkle Tang on top of, respect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, oh, my God. Yeah, and they don't ship. That's the other thing that sucks, because I wanted to ship a box home. I didn't care if they were day old.
Oh.
I was going to ship them to, like, my mom.
Yeah, and you the girl can get them.
Oh, JJ was telling us that you can buy a 5-gallon drum of day-old donuts for, was it $5?
Yeah.
Oh,
from them. Yeah.
Nice, because the girl I got basically was like, I can't do anything but take your order. I'm like, damn. So, because we went this morning on the way. Like, it was really funny, because we're on the way to the train station, and Dan's like, no, we leave 10 minutes earlier, and there's no line. We can hit Blue Donuts and have some for the train. And I'm like, yeah. So, literally, I think every day for, like, the last 4 days, I've been there. And the lines weren't bad.
Well, I'm just fixated on that idea of the bucket of old donuts. I would totally do that. Holy
shit. We
could
do that for Dragon Con and give them away. But,
throw them out to the crowd.
Okay.
Well, you know what, Rob? It's really interesting. I had somebody who left a package at my hotel. I had a person who left a package for me at my hotel.
Yeah, I heard that you thought that was me.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because when I looked inside the package of the David Hasselhoff CD, yes, it was David Hasselhoff, people. I did listen to it this week.
I want a copy of that.
The little post-it note where everything was written on is from St. Louis, Missouri.
That's not me. It's not me. Yeah. Come on, I would do better than that. Look, Lee, okay. This is something you wouldn't understand.
Lee, okay, honestly, honestly, ask yourself, Lee, knowing Rob would do a lot of crazy things, but would he actually give a friend a David Hasselhoff CD? I mean, in some countries that's considered a war crime.
But not in Germany.
No, not in Germany.
It's just called Christmas.
Yeah. And Lee, there are other people that go to Dragon Con that are from St. Louis. Sorry.
I don't know who, though. You know, this is
driving. I'm talking about 10 or 15 people.
Look inwardly. Look inward.
And a lot of them, I mean, the thing is, like, my friend Russell, for example, goes more extract stuff than I do. You know, there's a bunch of other people that go from St. Louis, but they don't do brick track, which is why most of the reason why you don't see them is because they don't do either brick track or they don't do a lot of extract or they just go to the con in general. But there's lots of people who know you are, Lee.
They do.
And you have my handwriting. Lee, you have my handwriting. So look at the yeah.
Yeah, so, all right. You sure?
If it matches. Come on, Lee. I would not give you a David Hasselhoff seat. Really?
Oh, I thought it was hysterical whoever did it. It was awesome.
Did you actually listen to a David Hasselhoff CD?
I couldn't listen to the whole thing. I listened to a little bit of each song.
Man, Lee, if I hated you with a passion of a thousand songs, I wouldn't even give you a David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, he would give you like, I don't know, Ethel Merman or something.
I don't know, I wouldn't do that. That's pretty cool, so. The Ethel Merman disco record is actually pretty great. I probably would have given you, like, the Tiny Tim album if I hated you.
Oh my gosh, I have that. That's
a lot. Isn't it great? It's great.
It is good because it's not always that type of singing, so.
So I'll tell you what I will do, Lee, is I will ask around for you.
Okay. Please do.
Because there are some people that have asked me about you anyway, so this would make sense.
You know what would be funny if it was one of your guests, Lee? It'd
be awesome.
Like Eddie.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
He knows people.
Yeah, I did totally think it was you, Rob. So,
And you know, enough people know about how this podcast works that they probably are trying to set me up.
Oh my god,
that was it.
So,
yeah.
I will look into this for you.
Thank you.
Actually, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't even give you anything. I'd give you a Tiny Tim CD.
Because that's actually good. I like it.
Or I'd give you a Voodoo Donuts box with nothing in it.
I would cry. I have a Voodoo Donuts.
Hold on a second. You'll love it. No. Yeah, I have a room key.
Right. Oh, dude, you're being hassled?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's kind of nice, though, actually. This is like I did when I was a punk kid years ago. The weird hair and shit.
You know, only time I ever
put that guy on the phone. Put that guy on the phone.
I don't know. I just moved. I'll talk to you, man. I don't want to bother him. Hold on.
So you're getting another room upgrade, it sounds like.
I'm not going to do that. I'll just mention it when I bitch. I'll just bitch later and use it for Dragon Con.
We've been here for 5 hours. Do you want to do introductions now?
Hi, Robot Aaron.
Yeah, I'll probably should.
It's that South African guy.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, listen, I got to go, though, because the chat's like, where the hell is Bob? Where the hell is Bob?
I know.
She's unpacking. No, she's unpacking and trying to figure out where to get all these fucking records and shit home. So.
What?
I'm sorry, what?
Something's happening in my chest right now. Hold on a second.
Oh, no. All
right. If I can call later back here, I will.
All right. If not,
She was unpacking and taking a nap, and I'm like, all right, I kind of try to get on weekend justice. She's like, go ahead, have a good time. Just play with your friends.
All right.
So John, are you dead? What's happening?
I think it was just gas.
Okay. I was about to say, I get to see John writing us a letter that said, at night, the chest pains become more intense, and then he puts it in an envelope and posts it. That was back in the days when you could post a letter.
I post my heart attack in a letter.
So anyway, we should do introductions and then come back and talk about Doctor Who, because I'm assuming we've all seen.
Yes, I've watched it like six times.
Except for John.
Because then after we do Doctor Who, I have to go to bed.
Yeah, yes.
Technically, Lee, they didn't actually argue at the wedding. They argued after the wedding.
Okay, All right, damn it. What are you talking about? What is happening?
I'm not going to shut up.
On the podcast.
I'm sorry. The two married people have our own little shorthand. We're talking.
No, I'm going to say it. I don't care.
No, go ahead.
No, you're not. Stop. John.
Hang on. Let me just explain to the listeners. For the last hour and a half, there has been a conversation happening in the chat of this podcast that none of you are privy to, dear listeners. And I'm not privy to, because I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They're talking about that there's some kind of slap fight happening in the backseat on the way to Mount St. Helens.
God, I see it now. Holy crap, people. What have you been doing?
Seriously, right? And I'm just like, I keep going, what is happening? And I don't
okay.
Be right back. John, did you really go there? Why wouldn't I?
The short story.
Because they might listen. So it's not nice. I thought we were ignoring that. I'm not saying who's saying who. What is a creeping fuck? Ooh, that's original. I like that.
Rox, hang on. John's going to explain himself. Hang on.
I was just going to point out that there's a whole subtext to the Mount St. Helens drive. First of all, we were told okay, our buddy Simon, him and his girlfriend got into a bit of a kerfuffle.
I cannot believe you're doing this.
After Sir's wedding, if you want this full story, he will tell you the full story, trust me.
I just want to know what the hell's going on.
So that's basically it, but the uncomfortableness was is that we were witness, Lee and I, because we all drove down together from Seattle, were witness to this weird conversation that they were having. And then there was the awkwardness that I was staying in the same room with Simon and his woman. And so there
you
was
probably
this weird...
should have stayed in my room that night.
I know. Weird... Man, John, you just latch on to these weird
there's this weird awkwardness going on. By the way, they're still good friends. They're very good friends.
They're still very good friends.
They're
yes.
very good
it's
friends.
Just,
still.
It's just a curve.
And but the thing is that Mount St. Helens is a lot further away from Portland than anyone lets on. It you think, look, the turn off to Mount St. Helens, the hooker from Portland, you pound Mount St. Helens in Portland.
You pound the mound of St. Helens.
And when the people that are sitting in the back seat aren't really talking to each other, it's even four or five times the length that it is.
Were you trying to be all jokey and everything? And, hey, look at that sign. Hey.
Why
didn't you just say, hey, why aren't you two talking?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Because, whatever.
We were having our own conversation in the front.
Why didn't you just stop the car and throw him out of the car?
I don't know. But Mount St. Helens, by the way, is a lot further away from the interstate than they let on.
All right, it is a little further from the interstate, but it was neat. And there was the Sasquatch place.
Which was closed.
And the Creation Museum.
Which was closed on the way back.
Well, you should have stopped and let me go before.
And
we
forgot to stop at the Creation Museum.
And you didn't have your video camera.
I didn't have my video camera.
We would
have
stopped at the Creation Museum.
Yes, otherwise we'd have gone, and which would have had.
We're never going to be
more
there again.
Deaths.
All right, that was a boring story. Let's
see, I know it was a boring story.
Well, because you didn't tell us the backstory of why they argued.
Oh, well, the backstory of why they argued is way, way, way.
It's not like Simon's going to listen to this.
Well, this is true.
All right, it was a wedding. Did he hit it on somebody?
No.
Did she hit on somebody?
No. Keep going, but I guess I will bet you $1 million you will never figure out what this is.
Were they trying to lure a third into their party?
It was me, yes.
Was it really?
Yes.
Oh, no. John.
And I said yes. And then they had the argument.
Oh,
after
no, that's not what we meant.
Then they had the argument.
And then Simon called Sonia and went, see, I told you I could get him to do it. Give me $100.
And, then there was this.
The cock and balls, it's huge.
So.
I'm throwing you into a threesome and you said yes, and then they threw you under the bus?
Yes, the $5 bus that goes between Seattle and Portland. And then some guy jumped out of the plane because of my runes. My body was smoking.
Your runes?
What?
You deal with runes?
Yes.
Let's talk about your
bourbon and Oktoberfest.
Kids, never do Cherry Smash, bourbon, and Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Never.
However, ice cream and Sam Adams Oktoberfest is fantastic.
Mm.
Now I think I could make that myself after
now you
told me the secret.
Now you see, here's the thing. That's at Red Robin, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I have one nearby.
You should do it, John.
Yes.
Take the kids. The kids see Daddy getting all drunk.
How long is that around for? Do we know?
Till they run out.
Of Oktoberfest, or
it's part of a full like Oktoberfest promo. There's a burger and there's like an appetizer, and we did the whole nine. We did the entire promo from end to end.
You have friends visiting you soon.
Yeah, Lee's coming over to sleep in my bed over here at my house.
Well, that makes sense because it's Tuesday.
Dear listeners, just so you know, we share so much.
We're just swapping spouses for that weekend.
Oh, that's a whole other conversation from someone that they called my wife the other day.
What?
So what volcano were you driving towards when this happened?
Oh.
No, a friend of ours is talking about how they're getting into the swinging scene.
Oh, no way, really? Oh, I want to hear this.
No.
God, why are the four of us the most boring people in the world? Okay, keep going.
Oh, whoa, speak for yourself.
I know.
I'll swing. Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't know everybody else was a swinger.
No, not that way.
Wait a minute.
I'm not boring.
She automatically equates.
How does boring Okay, did I miss the memo? Because I have a degree in fucking English, okay? And last time I checked, boring did not mean doesn't swing. How the fuck? What the fuck did that happen?
By swingers. I'm sorry. That's what I meant by boring. I'm sorry. I apologize. I am not using my English properly. John, please keep tell your story, because then I'll try to get myself out of this hole I've dug.
It's a deep one.
It is a deep one.
I want that on the soundboard, too.
It's a deep one. Oh, it will be.
Okay, so John, what's the story? Go.
Oh, I don't have any story. That's it.
No, you were just saying her neighbors.
Yes, my neighbors came over, knocked on the door, and just said, hey, do you guys want to swing? And I said, really? No. And then they went to the next door neighbor and said, hey, do you want to swing?
Really?
They're Jehovah swingers.
Oh, my God.
No, my friend of ours called the other day to tell us that they were getting into the swinging scene. I'm trying to figure out why they called us.
No, you know what it is.
I was kind of wondering why you guys.
No, John, I know what it is. It's that basically you have a reputation in the neighborhood, and they were expecting you to say, oh, fantastic. Well, the next party's Thursday.
Yes. Uh-huh. Everyone expects that from me.
Them. You know it's them. Yes. Wow.
Oh, my Lord.
So, do they have a newsletter?
They have a newsletter. They had a zine.
They have a zine.
There's nothing else I can say about that particular topic.
Dumb.
Except that the name rhymes with EBC. Just kidding.
You guys meet at the ABC Liquor?
What? Never mind. It was a joke.
It was a sad one.
Yes, it was.
Okay, so can we talk about Doctor Who now, and please get us out of this dark place?
I will say that that
just don't get the squirty kind.
Whoa, hello! What? How big was that cock and balls? So I
really do need 27 inches.
Oh, well, there you go.
Widge, it took up a whole big pink box.
Whoa,
it's a deep one.
So I just want to point out that I like to point out that Googling zine for swingers gives you nothing that's useful. So therefore, if you want,
you need to turn off your safe search, my friend.
Oh, okay, hang on. I wonder why I was only getting safes.
Wow.
Nope, still not getting anything.
Oh, hold on, I will find something.
He said, opening a drawer.
Oh, hold on, wait a minute. New incognito window.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't think to do that. My new Google ads are going to be fantastic now. Safes and swingers. That's going to be great. And that would be a great title for the show if I hadn't already come up with one. Anyway.
Swingers. Oh, my gosh. Here you go. Oh, my gosh. The first one I get for groups, Yahoo, Swingers Nations 2, message board for Tampa.
Oh, dear.
No, there's lots of sites. There are sites, but there's no zine that I could find. That's what I'm saying.
There used to be a newsletter.
I typed in Swiner's Zine.
Okay.
What you need? Okay, you can't say zine because you need to type in newsletter. Not a zine.
But see, I thought a newsletter was like, you know, like a flat 8.5 by 11 folded over, but not like a book type of thing.
No, you can do 11:17, fold it in half, staple it, and then fold it in half again.
I don't know what the rules are, which is why, you know.
Newsletters. They don't do zines. They do newsletters.
I see. So is that a swinging term? Is that like boring? Is that newsletters? Oh, you have a newsletter. I didn't know you swang.
Well, on Ask Men, there is a question, do swingers have more fun?
I see that.
I will save this for a Help Me Rocks.
Okay, all right, then if we do the swinger thing, we are guest
hosts. Whoa. Hold on. Who said I agreed to do a swinger thing?
John.
The topic. Oh, okay.
John, you agreed to the chat. It's right there.
We will have to have Mighty Bill or Fleshvine as our guest.
Yes.
Wait, we're on.
Wilson,
we're on male. Yes. We're on male now, so we have to do dude.
All right. Rock. So it, oh, okay. So it'll have to be Mighty Bill. Okay, yes.
No, hang on, hang on. Rocks. I'm just curious. I did not know that Bill, quote unquote, had a newsletter.
Because that's the topic we're doing, right? Newsletters.
It's part of the show notes for whatever the kiki fleshy kiki vine
the kiki
cast, whatever they do. Kinky and the Geek. I'm sure there's show notes that they put into a newsletter.
Wow, interesting. There's some definitions you need to know. You need.
Apparently,
I'll get this. I'll bone up later.
I bet you will. These are terms I did not know.
I'd like to point out, I'd just like to go off book for a second. I know we don't like to break character, but I'd like to say that the problem was Doc was so short on time, he wrote a script with fewer characters. And as a result, we have the same amount of alcohol in the room with us, but we've drunk it a lot faster. That's why we're as fucked up as we are right now. I'm sorry.
Definitions you need to know. Close twinging is one partner prefers not to watch their partner have sex with someone else. So I guess
so. It's next room, it's fine.
Oh, you're looking at the different ones. I'm looking rules for being a swinger. Known means hygiene. Hygiene is two.
Open swinger swinging is one person insists on watching their partner have sex with another person.
Now, I thought that's...
What? We need to save this for Help Me Rocks. Really.
Hang on. I thought that open swinging was when someone was pushing you while you were on the swing, but you didn't actually hold on to the chains. So there was this chance of actually being pushed out of the swing.
Oh my gosh. And you're falling.
Yeah. I mean, it's risky, but I mean, it's a rush. Yeah.
Especially the school ones that you can get some really good height on.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Man, do you know, I'm amazed to make it out of childhood because I remember, okay, you guys have done this. You're on the school swing sets are awesome. What, the chains are what, 8 feet in length?
Something like that.
So you get pretty fucking high. You know, that you're swinging. And then what do? You jump off 8 feet into the air at least, and you survive. And you know what? None of us could probably do that now.
Oh, no. No, no. But see,
we break die fucking... and break everything in our body.
But you know, Rox, my theory about this. Uh-huh. First of all, I have two theories about how kids can get away with that shit. Number one, it's the amount of energy that they have. And my theory, the reason why little kids have so much fucking energy is that because you have the same amount of energy now that you did when you were that size, but powering a body that size, it goes for much, much longer. So that's why me, that's why I'm fucking tired all the time. But, and so the energy helps you become more resilient, right? Yeah. And number two, I think, and I think you would probably agree with this theory, is that the reason we wouldn't do that now, the reason we die now is because we have experienced gravity enough to know, like in the Looney Tunes cartoons, you know, oh, I didn't know about the law of gravity. Literally, when you're a kid, you think you're fucking invincible, so you jump with conviction. Yeah. So therefore, you also land with conviction. Yeah. And so you walk away from it. Or you just break something and it heals so quickly that you never notice because you're young. Bastards.
It's like getting on those spinny things and stuff. Oh, yeah. You can't get on that stuff now. You're going to throw up.
No.
Well, I actually dry heat.
Oh, my gosh.
Do
you know?
Up,
okay. It's like, you know, it's like swinging a kid around to an airplane. It's like, do it again. Oh, no, I can't do it. You know, if you were younger, you can like spin around like a whirling dervish and nothing. Now it's like three swings. You're done. Okay, I'm done. We have to go the opposite way because my brain is now on my left side of my head and I need to make sure it centralizes.
And that's what I always thought was limited swinging when you could only swing three times. I bet that's in your definitions too, John.
In fact, it is, sir.
There you go.
Yes, and.
So, yeah, man. Swinging in schoolyard. And the thing is, too, there was no grass. You were swinging on concrete.
Yeah, I used to swing all the time in elementary school.
Of course you were.
I would go to Betty June, and then
Betty June,
Sally
you just
Mae,
made that out.
And then Sharma. I actually did date a girl named Sharma.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you ask if, you know, if her squeeze name a little was short soft? For Sharma? Yeah, there you go.
Yes.
Don't
and,
squeeze the Sharma. Did your dad say that?
I gotta believe
Don't
I've told.
Squeeze the Sharma, John.
She's the one. I think I've told the story before where I thought
no,
I got her.
No, John, you tell boring stories.
I thought I got her pregnant just by.
No, yes, you no, did. No, John, what? You didn't tell what? That to everybody on this podcast. That was just smug people. You told that story to.
Ow, John, why don't you?
Wait a minute. Well, hang on. John, was this, okay, I think you may have told the story. Was this the one where you wrote the letter to her basically saying, oh, and I think I'm about to, and then you mailed it to her, and then you thought that because, that was back when you could mail semen through the post. And is that when you thought that you had gotten her pregnant because you'd mailed her some sperm?
Correct. That is a
then you have told that story.
That is a gist of the story.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Next Help Me Rocks will be really great. So if you want to call in on this special halfway before Valentine's Day kind of Help Me Rocks, 404-382-0769. And our special guest, even though he doesn't know this, he will if he listens to this, will be Mighty Bill. Thanks for joining.
He does listen to this.
Because Bill is not boring.
No.
He's mighty.
He is.
That's correct.
What does he call his penis? That's a question I can ask him.
Oh, dear. How much have you drank? How much?
John, you can ask him that on the show.
Four or five shots and two beers.
There we go.
And then he's also had something to drink, too.
Were you drinking any gin? Because you're not really giggly, though, because gin usually get a little giggly.
Actually, yeah, I did have gin mixed in, because it was actually a mixed cocktail. It was a strawberry cherry smash gin and Contro. I was trying to find something for bourbon month, and so yeah, there was gin in this, so yes, gin is my kryptonite.
All right, so should we
gin what Let's gin was there's gin is in Contro.
Well, I just want to point out that I think
it
it's
is?
Fascinating.
What?
Gin is not Contro. What?
No. I mixed. No. Contro and gin and cherry mash bourbon.
No, wait a minute. Now, Lee.
Oh, okay.
Now, hang on. And then Lee, you're confused because I thought. Gin. Lee, I thought you would know this being an X-Files fan. Contros are the things that jets leave behind them as they go through the air that people think are filled with, like, poison and stuff.
She just can't remember that. She can't remember it.
Don't you know Contras don't like cherry smash?
Hey, I used to play Contra. That was a badass game. But I just think, Rox, I think it's fascinating that Lee, I would refer to this, how she was able to, like, forensically figure out. What?
Did you ever play Commando? Commando was a lot of fun, too.
No, I like to wear underwear. What was I saying? Oh, yes. Lee forensically figured out what John was having to drink by his drunkenness. I would call that drunker printing.
That's her being married to him.
Wait a minute. Rox, we could pitch this as a show. Lee needs to go and solve drunken crimes.
Well,
basically being able to do a CSI on somebody. All right, breathe on me. Oh, okay, I know exactly what you've had to drink, and that proves you couldn't have killed the butler at 11 o'clock last night. That was amazing.
You were still too shit.
Well,
yeah, okay.
Well, Fox does have an opening where they used to have the Finder.
Oh.
So. Oh. Hey, by the way, Revolution was actually really good.
Was it good? Yes. I have not watched it yet, so it was good.
It was enjoyable, yes. There is a bit of controversy. Have you guys heard about the controversy around this?
It's going for 5 years, and the writers will walk off after three.
I thought it was because it had nothing to do with the song by the Beatles.
That is exactly the controversy I was referring to. But okay, there is also another controversy I've heard of.
Oh, okay. What's the other one? The
song by Prince.
Yes.
Controversy? Sorry.
There's a pilot that was shot for NBC or shown to NBC called Powerless, which kind of takes the same exact concept. Of course, you know, the people do admit that, you know, that concept isn't anything new.
Yeah. They did that with Dark Angel, too. Just saying.
Oh, that is true, isn't it?
Hell, I have a short story that's close to that, but exactly.
Can you sue J.J. Abrams, do you think?
Maybe James Cameron can.
Oh.
That's true.
I don't know. I think James Cameron should buy the rights to my story and then sue J.J. Abrams.
But there's a small faction of people that are boycotting the show simply because they feel like they might have stolen the idea from somebody else, from these other folks that...
Hey, newsflash for everybody. There aren't that many original stories out there.
Ideas, yeah.
The general ideas, this is true. There's always I think you can always find a unique spin on some things, but, yeah, so there is actually, pilot that was shot that actually was called Powerless that for NBC and was shown to NBC. But here's the thing. What I don't get is they're saying, well, you know, the general rough outline was given to a low-level NBC executive. But J.J. Abrams came out with the idea or the show, the general premise of the show, a month before the pilot was shown publicly or seen by anyone, really, except that the general outline was given to some low-level executive the month prior to J.J. Abrams coming out with announcing what the idea of the premise of Revolution was going to be. So it raises this whole thing, first of all, of whether or not that person actually had talked to J.J. Abrams, or in which you're a writer, there's a certain, I don't know what you want to call it, but in the air, it always seems like things start to come together almost at the same time. Like there'll be, back in the 90s, like early 90s, there was the two volcano movies that seemed to come out at the same exact time.
Armageddon and Deep Impact. I mean, it happens all the time.
Right. So, I don't necessarily agree that this was the case here, that J.J. Abrams was talking to some low-level exec, and then, he came up with the same idea. It just may have been that it was in the air, that, you know, there's a lot of talk of apocalypse now, there's a lot of zombie stuff going on, and maybe someone just said, oh, you know, what about if we did a show about the power going out? I mean, and for crying out loud, what Omega Man was, not Omega Man, but actually, what was the crappy I Am Legend, that's what it was. Even though it was a zombie thing, supposedly, you know, power's out and everything else. And, you know, that's what happens when the world, when people stop, you know, maintaining things. But Revolution, going back to what I was originally saying, I am drunk, that it was actually really, really good. There's points where it kind of dragged a bit, but the... probably the last 10 or 15 minutes kind of sold you on the entire premise of what's going on. Now, I know that Widge, you had said something about the magic USB stick.
That was in the preview, whatever it was.
Yeah, the pilot's actually available online, but and probably on Hulu by now as well. It's not exactly a magic USB stick. You don't know exactly what it is at this point, but there is sort of a device that I don't want to give away the last 15 minutes for anybody that hasn't seen it yet, but it's a plausible device given the fact that knowing how technology kind of works these days, I suppose this thing could exist. But we don't really know very much about it at this point. But it was actually quite enjoyable. The thing that I found hardest to believe was at one point this one dude takes on about, 15 people with a sword and wins. But I guess if I've given up on that with any number of action films, I guess I can forgive that. The other thing is, too, is that several of them were using muskets, which I didn't quite get. Given that guns aren't powered, they just explosive. So I don't know why you would have to use a musket instead of, with the proliferation of guns in the United States. There's what, like 5 guns per person in the United States or something like that?
Well, two things would strike me about that. How long has it been since the world ended?
Like 15 years. 15 years, yeah.
Okay. Well, I would say that pretty much if you're got 15 years in which to either get better with a sword or get killed, you'll probably get better with a sword or die. So there's that. But the other thing is, after 15 years, I mean, I don't know. Siege would probably be able to answer this. But if you are trying to, like, manufacture ammunition, you know, is it easier to create musket ammunition, but which is basically just powder and shot, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Versus an actual round that has to be, like, manufactured using power, I guess.
Yeah, but how much? Because you have to make the casing. That's true. But I kind of believe that there's enough bullets in the United States to last, you know, plenty of, I don't know. I guess, how often are they using the bullets is, I guess, what the question is, right?
Well, probably very often at the beginning. I don't know. Yeah. I will say that if you've seen the, I mentioned this before, there's a bit in the Vice Guide to Travel where they do have, and I want to say this is in a region of Afghanistan, where they have people who can, by hand, without a manufacturing facility, make weapons, like literally like AK-47s, machine pistols and whatnot, that look just like one that was created in a factory. So really, if revolution had happened in 15 years' time, they probably would have conquered the world.
probably true. Well, they would have had to have gotten over to the United States, of course, which is kind of tricky, given that there is no power. I mean, nothing works. The premise is that literally you could have a combustion engine, it does not work.
Now the thing
how
is
how that's possible.
Wait a minute.
Now, like, since nothing's working, that means the population, it's because it's 15 years, it's already done the whole rape, pillage, looting.
Yes.
Old people have died in whatever homes and stuff. Is that?
Yeah. They even kind of allude to the fact that there's, you know, really no more medicine. The medicine's gone. I mean, it's been, combustion engines don't work. I guess a modern combustion engine doesn't work because there's no spark, right? Because the electricity stopped working. I suppose.
What about
steam? I suppose you could. That's what I was about to go. That's what I was about to say. Is that maybe steam? Actually, they do point out that one of the guys was trying to go work on get on a fishing crew. Now it could be sailing, I suppose, but maybe a steamboat of some sort.
So wait a minute. Do they have fire?
They do have fire. Yes.
Then how do you have fire but no combustion engine?
I think we're talking
because
modern
combustion
engine. Because I think
with a combustion engine, there's always, because you have a battery that has to do with the spark that always ignites the combustion portion.
Well, this is eerie. This is like really close to my short story. I should sue.
There you go.
Yeah, basically all the, it's as if a nuclear bomb went off.
So, all right, they have like no the warlords. So what is the reason for them to, like, leave their enclave of suburbia type of thing?
So, of course, it's only the first episode, but the...
There's always, is there a postman?
Well, John, bear in mind, we just sort of spoilered, like, 2 seasons of Boardwalk Empire. I think you're fine spoiling the first episode.
Oh, okay. So, especially since it's been online for, like, 3 weeks now or something. And it was legitimately posted too by NBC.
Fuck it, pirates.
Okay, so the idea is that this guy Monroe, and not Monroe from Grimm, but a different Monroe.
Not the president, James Monroe.
No, okay. Although he's General Monroe, who has kind of formed a militia. Basically, they talk about all these different militias form up in different areas. And probably around military bases, because that's where all the ammo is, right?
Or was. Where was. The MO was.
Yes. So they form militias, and, oh God, I wish I could remember the character's name from Breaking Bad. The, do either of you watch Breaking Bad? You don't, Widge.
No, I have really. Not yet, so don't spoiler anything.
Oh, okay. Well, there was an actor that was on, and he was fucking brilliant.
If you can hear me, I can't hear you.
I don't watch it.
We can hear you, Widge. And Widge is gone.
Oh, dear.
He was, we started talking about Area 51, and Widge had disappeared. Is Widge back now?
I don't know.
Nope. Still not. La.
Do, so is there a smoke monster?
It's torture for all those of you that
missed the last time. So is there a smoke monster?
By the way, Lee's gone to bed. Is there a smoke monster? Certainly there is a smoke monster. There always has to be a smoke monster. But this time, because there's no electricity, there is no fence to keep him in.
Ooh, there should be. He did Cloverfield, right?
Yes, he did.
Did he? Wow, so there should be a giant monster. I like that film. Was him. I actually like
that. Wait, are you back? We still can't hear you.
I'm back.
Oh, okay.
All right.
J.J. Abrams did Cloverfield, right?
He produced it and maybe co-wrote it. He did not direct it.
Okay.
Oh, okay. That's why I liked it, I guess.
So there's this rise of this person called General Monroe in this particular area, in the area of Chicago. I guess this would be the northern Midwest type thing.
Mm-hmm.
It starts off with this guy running into the house saying, it's happening, and he's downloading to the magic USB port, telling his kids that, you know, this is all it, telling his wife, this is basically it. It's happening. Everything, all the power is shutting off and it's not coming back on. It's done. It's over. So they flash forward 15 years. The wife is dead. And they're living in this little, basically what would be a suburb. Well, it was a suburb, but they kind of fenced it off and they're kind of living inside of like a commune, but with, all the suburban houses. And the Monroe militia shows up one day and tells the guy who knew the world was ending, essentially, that they're looking for him. And they want him, and they want him to come with them. And he's like, no, I'm going to stay here. And they're like, well, you don't. And we will, if you don't come with us, we will conscript your kids. And we'll basically... mind fuck them until they have no idea who you are anymore. And so he says, okay, fine, I'll go. The son essentially stands up to the dad, to the militia. Chaos ensues. The dad dies. Done. And that's how basically the whole thing starts. And that's why before he dies, he tells his daughter to go find his brother. Who he was on the phone with. This is at the phone. This whole thing all of this happens like in the first 10 minutes of the show. He tells his daughter to go find his brother, who he was on the phone with at the time, telling him that basically the world was about to stop functioning.
All right, so here's something.
Is this the premise of your short story, Widge?
You know what? Actually, here's what the dad should have done. Is to tell the daughter to go find some Amish.
Yeah, the Amish this entire time have no idea anything's gone on.
That during an apocalypse, the only people that will survive that know the secret to making butter and farming is the freaking Amish.
And they make great mattresses.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And they make good chicken and noodles. So anyway,
The Amish, along with the Afghani people, should rule the world, is what you're saying.
Yes.
That's pretty much
we're going to pitch this show, Rox.
Yeah, Amish and Armageddon.
And they just go around killing the English, is basically what they do.
English.
Which, what? Okay, why were
John,
you giggling?
I have to share this with you. This is ridiculous. Someone has hacked the Wikipedia page for Revolution.
Have they?
Oh. Here's what the setting says. Revolution takes place in a post-apocalyptic future. 15 years earlier, Obama disabled all advanced technology on the planet, ranging from computer electronics to car engines, jet engines, and batteries. people were forced to adapt to a world without technology, and due to the collapse of public order, many areas are ruled by Obama. The series focuses on the Romney family, who possess an item that is the key to saving the country. Oh my God! Really? Really?
Well, you share the link.
I know.
Because...
Please, somebody hack this and make sure that the Amish come out ahead. Please do this.
I think that, you know what? That needs to be the new pastime, is hacking Wikipedia pages to improve the plots of television shows.
Yes.
Right, and because it's already been reverted.
It has?
Yeah. That's how quick that worked.
Holy crap.
It was already reverted back to the previous.
Anyway, we should have more shows.
Oh, no, it didn't. Wait, I misread it. Oh, wow.
They may have somebody sitting on it and basically unreverting it as they revert it. Because that's the power of Wikipedia, folks.
That is
and
awesome.
Why, if you're not careful, it's useless.
That is awesome.
Right. I bet you it's a bunch of Amish doing it.
That
No, they hired somebody because the Amish wouldn't have the computers, but they, because they've sold so much butter and farm implements, would be able to afford to hire someone to do it. Amish cyber warfare.
Do you want to hear something interesting about the Amish? Did you read this in Omni a couple years ago where I think it was the tobacco company?
I can't afford to stay in that hotel.
What?
Nothing. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh. Anyway, the tobacco company wanted to do research on genetically modified tobacco. And apparently in the Amish belief, they didn't have anything about, you know, to say against what is genetically altered tobacco. So they allowed for research and development to be done on certain Amish farms. It's kind of interesting.
So there you go. If you need, mutant tobacco as well after the apocalypse,
yeah, go to the Amish because chicken and noodles, they're good. Stephen King should write a story about the Amish. Joyce Carol Oates.
He hasn't yet.
I don't think so.
Yeah,
they're the forgotten people, and they're like gypsies that stay to the land because they're people that nobody really talk about. But they're there.
We've been here for 5 hours. You want to do introductions now?
No. What's
the point? What's the point?
It'll be really, really short. So, okay, fine.
That's what
we'll
said.
We'll do introductions, and then we'll decide what the hell we're doing, since we shouldn't do recommendations yet, because they'll take 5 minutes. So we'll do introductions, and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week. But now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Of Weekend Justice. It's a Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com. We're here in the post-revolution future in which only three of us were able to get on and survive until the end of the podcast. Obviously, during the first part of the podcast, after the apocalypse, we used up all the ammunition, and now we have all converted to become Amish swingers. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I'll endeavor to introduce them. Going from my right to your left, we have Rox is here. Hi, Rox.
I wrote on this little paper, Sunday, sometime, underline.
No, wait. Now, did you say sometime underline the word underline, or did you actually?
No, just underline the word sometime. I don't know why. But I have the date, August 22nd, next to it.
So, Rox, it's like a murder mystery in your house all the
time. Oh, my God. You can't believe I cut up. I always have these 2x3.5-inch note cards, and I have them at work, and I write all sorts of weird notes and stuff. They're all over the house. It's like if you had to do memento in this house, you would be totally lost. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So there you go, folks.
Anyway, so Sunday, sometime.
There you go. We also have John for the Unique Geek. Hi, John.
Ooh, that's good.
Oh, it's fantastic. All right, so Rox, do we even want to talk about Doctor Who at this point? Because we lost everybody.
We lost everybody. So we know you watched it.
I win. I win.
Yeah, John, see, you bored everybody with your horrible half-ass stories.
They are. They all are boring, aren't they?
It's not.
You
know, it's not.
You tantalize us with all these little tidbits about these people, and you just drop the ball left and right.
Well, I mean, I could tell the entire story.
That could have been a great story.
I could tell the entire stories, but then I would be telling them out of words.
So you just changed the name. It's not like they're going to listen to this show.
Okay, so we had this guy named Smyman. Who Steve Smodgers. Can't believe I screwed that up.
Wow. He's
still going to beat himself up about that.
Oh, huh? God, John, get over it.
I can't. No. It
you know
haunts
what,
me. I think about this is
about that show.
By the way, this is no joke, Widge. And by the way, I do have to get you the files, don't I? This is no joke. I think about it every single day, at least once.
You do not.
I do. It drives me nuts. The horrible, horrible performance I put out.
John, nobody.
Oh, God, you were funny.
John, really?
You were all funny.
All right, hold on. Stop.
Hammer time.
This is what John wants. John, you are shit. Oh. Just let's move on.
No. I'm not fishing for compliments. I'm not fishing for insults. I just know that there was several points in the performance wasn't as good as I had hoped.
I think
it's because
John,
I didn't have any
John,
gin.
John, stop. Just,
I contend it's because I didn't have any gin.
I don't want to hear, you know, comparing notes with your wife. Yes, he does that all the time. I just don't want to go there.
I have my routines.
Your own manly, you know, self-esteem. Just stop.
I have my routines. Sometimes it works for her. Sometimes it doesn't. Wait, what are we talking about?
I don't know.
I don't know when we do. Are we talking about the rhythm method now? What's happening?
The rhythm is going to get you.
Yeah, it will if you keep that up.
Well, you know, orgasms are little deaths. So what else is that? Now that TV has started and we had Revolution and here's the weird thing. I was going to ask Lee is they've added 20. They have now 20 episodes for Warehouse 13. And for a long time, it was like 12. And now I'm like, this should be done because it's now September. This show should be done. And now we still have some more because the last couple weeks, my Mondays have been thrown off because I've been doing something else because I totally forgot that it's on. And it's like, oh, crap, Warehouse 13's on. Because it should be off the air. First 12 episodes.
So basically, you're completely fucking with Rox's world, Warehouse 13.
Yeah, you are. I mean, I love the show. I love the show. It's just this whole, we added 20 episode. You know, it's now 20 episode season opposed to, you know, 12. It's just screwing with me. It really is. Weird. Anyway, I missed half the episode last night. I was taking a shower. I'm like, oh crap, Warehouse 13's on. I gotta finish up so I can watch. Sad. Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
So what are you watching, John, other than Revolutionary? Do you watch Haven?
I do not. I have been watching The Voice, which, by the way...
Really?
Yes, I do. I do watch it. I kind of skipped through it a little bit. Here's the thing. It is better than... argue that it's better than American Idol in the sense that they actually don't show you all the wackos and you have to be invited and the whole nine yards. So it's actually more people that can actually sing, and it's not totally, you know, just basically embarrassing people. But the guy, I don't know if you're, I wish Rob was still on the phone, but the guy who sings Cupid Shuffle, are you guys familiar with the tune Cupid Shuffle? I'm sure Rob is.
Is that the one where it was kind of like all the people who used to dress up as Cupid for Hallmark did a rap thing for Valentine's Day, kind of like Super Bowl Shuffle, but even worse?
No, that is not it.
Oh, I'd so watch that.
Let's see, Cupid Shuffle. I got the music video right here. Let's.
Oh God, I'm afraid play. Now.
Let's play a little bit here. Okay, so this is very popular with the elementary school level kids. Trust me, it is. So the guy who sings Cupid, who does the Cupid Shuffle, he actually appeared on The Voice. And chose to, because he wanted to show the world that he could actually sing and that he was actually talented and whatnot. And by the way, he is, but he chose to show the world that he's talented and can sing other songs by singing, you guessed it, Widge, this song.
What song?
This song. Say what you're doing, trying to do somebody cold. The very song that he's famous for and that he says is holding him back, he chose to sing that song. Now, the awkwardness comes in with no one turned around and wanted them on their team.
Wait. I thought the whole point of The Voice was that these were unknowns that were supposed to be getting up and...
Not necessarily. The difference with The Voice and American Idol is that you can actually, if you've been on American Idol, if you actually have recorded professionally, or, you know, basically you're allowed to do whatever, anyone's allowed to come that wants to be on the show. So in this case, he has a hit, and he has a hit, the only hit he has, but he chose to sing this song. Which, by the way, doesn't really show off his singing voice, because he then did, because CeeLo did ask him to, sing actually something else. And he sang, an Al Green, I think it was an Al Green song. I can't remember.
Music of the Night from Phantom of the Opera?
Yes, he did. That's what he sang. We'll say that. Okay. Sure. And it was actually very beautiful and very well done. And Andrew Lloyd Webber came out of the audience and said, lovely. And everyone applauded. So he can actually sing, but he chose to go on the show. This is what drives me crazy. He chose to go on the show claiming that he wanted to show everyone he could sing, and sang the song that he claims he doesn't show off his voice in. That makes absolutely no sense to me.
Uh-huh.
Well, I can see where that would drive you crazy, John.
It drives me crazy.
You know, it would be better if he, like,
crazy.
Sing a song, sing a love, then that would show.
But anyway,
see, if they had flown him in from the grid above the stage, then he could have been a song jumper, and that would have been much more impressive.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Yeah.
Mm.
I know, but you know what? Then halfway through, he would write something and mail it off.
And that's back when you could, you know, mail songs through the mail.
He would write the songs and make the whole world sing.
That's right. So
there's nothing else I'm really watching.
I don't know. It's like you're watching a show of just cover songs. I mean, nobody
True.
Does anyone sing their own, like, stuff?
Well, he did. Does anyone?
Okay. All right.
It was his song.
All right.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, actually, I guess they did have someone last season that did sing, or the first season that did sing something of their own. But it was after they'd actually made it like to the finals or whatever. I don't understand why they don't make it more. I don't know, because I guess it's not as popular. I don't know. Anyway, what are we talking about? I'm drunk.
You were talking about The Voice, and you said like The Voice.
Yeah,
that's
watching
what you
The Voice, because Breaking Bad is over for the season. Well, for the half season that they did. Let's see. I'm caught up.
Glee? Are you a Glee person?
No. I was for a while, but not anymore.
What made you turn off Glee?
New meds?
Glee.
Okay.
Glee made me turn off Glee.
Okay.
Fringe isn't back yet. The Mob Doctor started tonight, but I don't think I'm going to watch that.
Well, the only reason I wanted to see that is because of William Forsythe. I'll at least watch an episode for William Forsythe.
Well, that's true. And actually, the actress was in a sitcom on TBS called The Boys, or My Boys, rather. Which was actually pretty decent. It was actually pretty decent sitcom for sitcoms. But other than that, yeah, she hasn't really been. There's really nothing on right now. Oh, Leverage is over now too. Sons of Anarchy. I'm watching Sons of Anarchy. Oh, the first episode of Sons of Anarchy this season was awesome.
I have not seen it.
Mad Men and I were exchanging comments about it, but Ron Perlman, Katie Sagal, both are incredibly awesome, and now they've added Harold Perrineau, who from Lost fame.
He's fantastic.
He is fantastic. He's lost like a ton of weight, though. It looks like he's like really skinny. But he I don't know what his fascination is with hatches, but there's a hatch involved in the latest episode of Sons of Anarchy as well. So, by the way, he was in a show with, I think we've talked about this before, that I really liked called, oh, shoot. It had Jeremy Renner in it as well. Not the Blues. Crap. What the hell is it called? It had like this great cast of people, and unfortunately got canceled. Well, actually, fortunately. As it turns out, fortunately, because then Jeremy Renner was able to go out and do things like, oh, wait, he did do The Bourne Identity, didn't he? Film.
Wait, he was in what? What is it? He was in a
television show on ABC with, yep. Harold Perrineau was on a show on ABC with Jeremy Renner.
The Unusuals.
The Unusuals, yes, which was actually really good. The cast was like phenomenal. If you read down that list for the cast, it was actually a really great cast. It was a really good.
Wow.
Right.
I'm sorry. I was stunned by, I went to Wikipedia, which The Unusuals has not been hacked. And an ABC press release described The Unusuals as, quote, like a modern day MASH.
No, it was not like a modern day MASH.
And I'm like, you know, the fact that you even would try to go after MASH would lead me to believe that you're stoned. So
it was maybe more like, let's see. Maybe if MASH and Law and Order had a baby, that was probably more accurate. Not even then. But it was certainly not a modern day MASH. That's for sure. But the cast was really good. It was really kind of a very high end cast for such a show that only lasted like 10 episodes or something.
Right.
Of course, we did get Hawkeye out of it, so there is that. Widge, you talk about something.
No, I was just curious because I'm like, I'm wondering, did Jeremy Renner pick that? Oh, of course. Okay, that makes sense because Renner and Perrineau worked together on 28 Weeks Later.
Oh.
Oh, did they?
Yep. So that explains that. I was just trying to figure out how in Renner's increasingly busy schedule.
Here's the thing. This, The Unusuals is the reason why Harold Perrineau left Lost in the first place. And then he eventually came back because it was canceled. Mm. So that's why he left Lost in the first place, because of that show, which unfortunately didn't find an audience. But again, I argue that it was actually a very fun and entertaining show. Which I'm not sure if it's on Netflix or not, but if it is, check it out, because it is a good program with some very fine acting. And I can't remember the guy's name. He was also in Entourage. He's been in a lot of things. Do you have the cast there in front of you, Widge?
Of which?
Of The Unusuals.
Yeah, 1 second. Got it.
Okay, who's? Can you read off the cast real quick?
Yeah, Amber Tamblyn, Jeremy Renner, Adam Goldberg, Harold Perrineau, Kai Lennox, Joshua Close, Monique Gabriella.
I think it's Adam Goldberg. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Look up what he's done before.
Okay. What am I looking for?
I don't know. What has he done before?
Let's see. Things you would actually recognize. Hang on. Let me get the IMDb. Oh yeah. Okay. I know this guy. He was in Zodiac. He was in,
he was also on Entourage and he's on Numbers for like one episode. Let's see. He was on Entourage, right? For like a couple of episodes?
He was on the Joey TV series, so there you go.
There is always that.
Yep. Let's see. I'm still looking. He was in A Beautiful Mind. He was in Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he was also in Entourage in 2007. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, he has done good in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, of course. That's what you would know him from. he's done some fine acting. He was actually brilliant as this guy who would as Harold Perrineau's partner in that show. So that'll be my recommendation. That'll be my early recommendation. Check out the Unusuals if you get an opportunity. I'm not watching anything else. What are you watching, Rox?
Oh, let's see. I'm watching, of course, Boardwalk Empire, the rest of Warehouse 13, because I guess it's going on for 30 episodes now. Alphas, I still like that. It's still kind of an interesting show. The cast is really good, and I like the way the filming is. They're doing more interesting stuff. They had one episode where you can inject sort of this medical stuff that you become an alpha type person and you can jump off buildings and dive into cars and you're okay. So, but then you can die later on. So. That was really cool. I'm actually waiting for Parks and Recreation to start up.
Oh yes.
So I'm waiting for that. Is that next week? Is it everything kind of starts the 24th? Oh, it's this week?
I think it's this week. Yeah. The last season of The Office starts this week as well. Well,
oh, it is the last season.
Oh yeah, they've officially announced it on NBC. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah, it is, because I mean, once Michael left, and I did like the whole, who will they have? It just seemed so much up in the air. And honestly, it was really stretching when they actually had like Jim and Creed and them hiring their own boss. It's like that would never happen in any corporation, even small company. That would never happen. Here, hire somebody who will be, your overlord. No, that will not happen. Yeah, it just that was just kind of crazy. Even though I do like James Spader.
James Spader's character was awesome.
Oh my gosh, yeah, he's really great. You know, because he's got that real creepiness and vibe to him. Even though I do miss Kathy Bates.
Where do I know the British chick from?
Oh, she was Donna Noble from Doctor Who.
Oh, where do I know the British chick from? I will ask again.
Oh, I don't know. Then she had her own show called The Catherine Tate Show.
Oh, okay. Did that ever air over here? I don't.
Yeah, it was airing on BBC America. You just had to catch it.
Oh, you know what happened yesterday?
What happened yesterday?
You got
approached by your swinging neighbors.
I got my door-to-door swinging neighbors. My swinging door neighbors. I got my daughter interested in Top Gear.
Did you really?
Oh yes, I showed her.
How'd you do that?
Well, we were sitting down. We were watching the episode with. I was watching.
She?
She's 12.
She's already got. She's setting her sights on your car.
We were watching the episode where they made their own caravan.
Oh my God, that was awesome!
With the like three story.
Did you have to explain to her what a caravan was opposed to what an RV is?
She figured it out. The one thing we didn't know was what a bog? It's a toilet. Whatever the hell a toilet. Yeah. We had to kind of figure out what that meant. But she was laughing like nobody's business yesterday, so it was awesome. It's pretty awesome.
I like that show.
That show, it's as though it has been going on for several seasons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
Just a little bit, yeah. Oh, man, I just looked at Twitter. 10 hours ago, Salman Rushdie was going to be at the Barnes & Noble Union at the Union Square. Darn.
Does he still have a thing, a whatever, over
yeah,
his head?
I think so. I think to a minor degree. He's got a new book
fuck
out.
You, whatever
Something Anton, where he was writing while he was in hiding as this Joseph Anton. That's the name of his current book. About him in hiding for 10 years.
Back.
All right, hey, now here's the thing. Has anyone really read the Satanic Verses? I have never, because I've heard people say it is a very boring book.
Which? Did you read the Satanic Verses?
No, but I did play the album backwards, and it's actually Led Zeppelin.
Okay. All right.
You are drunk.
I guess so.
I'm actually topless now, too.
You've been that before.
I know it's too much information, but whatever. Who cares? If you've listened this long, you really don't care.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very true.
The
only thing I'm watching is, now Boardwalk Empire, because that started back up.
You have HBO?
What?
Nothing. Go on.
And I've been I've been going through The Walking Dead Blu-ray for season 2, and that starts up about a month from now. So
that'll
there's
be
that.
Awesome.
Halloween.
Unless you're on Dish. Dish doesn't have Walking Dead.
That's right. Oh my God, when's Mad Men start?
I think I think it's like February.
Yeah, and Game of Thrones isn't back until March.
Fuck Game of Thrones. Actually, my wife is reading the I only mean that in the kind of sense that I can, and that the fact that they're not coming back till March is annoying. My wife is reading the entire series, and she started to
Wait a minute. Your wife's a nerd?
She is.
She became a nerd by osmosis.
In this case, she's reading the books. I don't read books.
well, we knew that.
I made her read the books because she's like, oh, she wanted to read. She read the first one.
Oh my God, you made her read the books so that you could ask her.
She read the first one because she really liked the series. We watched the series together because we were looking. Because actually, we were looking for something to watch over the summer. And so we went ahead and bought HBO just so that we could watch the entire series or watch it like in a couple of weeks, season one, season two. And then the idea was then to cancel HBO immediately after that and then wait for the entirety of season three to run through and then rent HBO again and then cancel it again. we haven't canceled HBO yet because I'm actually using HBO Go to go through all the other series that I've that we forgot about. Because we used to have HBO a long time ago. And what happened was is that we just basically dropped it. And so we dropped it like in the middle of Big Love and everything else that, we kind of wanted to get caught up on. Anyway, so she watched the first two seasons, loved the series, and so she went ahead and read the book. She read the first one, and then she goes, oh, well, I assume the second one is the same as the second season. And I said, I've been hearing that it isn't, that it isn't exactly the same, that it kind of deviates towards the end. And so she did read the second one. She, oh, thank you for reading it. And I went ahead and, bought the books and just serendipitously,
serotoninly, what?
Yes. I snuck the rest of the series onto her bookshelf, and then she's like, she was reading the second one, and then she, well, actually what she had done, here's actually what happened. She'd gone and bought the third book, and she said that the second one's the same, so I'm just going to start reading with the third. And I said, I don't think that's how that works. So I went and bought her the second one. So she read the second one. She goes, oh, thank you for doing that, because it didn't exactly follow. My mouth is getting kind of cottony mouth right now. Too many things that I'm saying out of my mouth.
You need to drink some more.
So then she started reading the third one, and now I think she's on the fourth. When is this series supposed to end, by the way?
I think they're doing Wheel of Time, so it'd be like 13, 14.
Seven? Are you serious, Widge?
I'm serious.
My wife's head's going to explode.
She's going to hate
you. Because she actually didn't like, not Feast of Crows, but the fourth book.
Gosh, she's just chowing those books down.
Oh, she is.
Oh, yes, that was a buffet with beavers.
I was going to say, the green book. You know which one I'm talking about.
Green book, sad.
Not Feast of Crows, but the ones just before that.
Drag Race with Dragons. A Warm Bath with Wombats. I don't remember exactly, but it was a green book. You were so drunk. It's hilarious.
Oh my god, do that again. Oh my gosh, we need that for the soundboard.
What we need that as an MP3, and we'll put a QR code on the back of the next issue of the zine, and you can zap the zine with your phone and download it. And that's your new notification sound for your phone. Is that a chamois being squeezed? No, it's John laughing. Oh my god, I broke John. I'm sorry, Unique Geek. I didn't mean to break John.
I can't breathe. Oh, my arm hurts now.
Quick, send me a letter.
Send a letter.
Jesus.
So her major complaint with the one that was before Feast of Crows, the Wombat one, was that he basically he condensed all the action into like the last two chapters of the book.
Oh.
No, I'm sorry. It's a wigwam of wombats.
I may have peed myself. I'm not sure. Okay, gin and beer. No. The answer is no.
Yeah.
Seriously, my arm hurts now. So anyway, you should really watch that show that we were talking about with Harold Perrineau.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Oz. Okay, yeah, I'll do
Oz.
That.
Yes. God, that's right. He was in Oz too, wasn't he?
Yes, you are.
God, he is such a freaking phenomenal actor.
He is really good. I have liked him since Romeo and Juliet.
I have never watched Romeo and Juliet from end to end.
It's good. I like it.
From end to end. Why would I watch it from end to end?
Are you in it, John? What did you do? Like, leave halfway through?
No.
Were you an actor? Were you Paris or something?
I watched the beginning, the middle, and up to about 2 seconds before the end, but I did not watch the end to end.
Okay.
I stand by my statement.
All right, fine. We won't spoil the ending for you.
Darn. I'd like to.
I believe Leonardo DiCaprio writes some fake checks. Is that what happens at the end?
No, he flies off in a plane and then holds up in a hotel.
Before that, he mails off the fake checks. That's back when you could send fake checks through the mail.
God, remember those days?
I know. Those were great.
Those were great days.
I know. So, should we move to recommendations?
I don't think so.
I think, John, you're almost dead, so I think we should move to recommendations. Ugh. For your own safety.
I think I may have. I have a pinched nerve in my neck, and I think I very well may have pinched it more.
Oh, yeah. Have you gotten healthier with your arm or whatever, your foot?
Well, when the swingers.
I can't remember what the problem was.
Some extremity on your person. What?
Yeah. You couldn't run.
The swingers had come by, and they yanked on my neck. And by neck, I mean penis. And by penis, I mean my penis. And that was it. Yes. What? What are we talking about? Recommendations, right, Wage?
Yeah. So, Rox, why don't you go so that John has a moment to try and breathe?
Okay. I just got, like, a couple things. Joyce Carol Oates. I can't speak enough about this woman. She is now Widge. She's been writing for 5 decades.
Nice.
Yes. She has a new series of, she's got like 20 sets of short stories out. 20 out since 1963. This woman, she is the prolific. She is our Shirley Jackson of the 21st century. She really is. This woman can write about anything. She has a new, short story series, which I love the short story, the whole genre of short story, because certain little tidbits stay with you. And I don't know if this story is in this one. I think it's in another story, but she was here in Jacksonville and she read off 2 stories, and one was about a woman who was raped. And in the middle of the act, the rapist, now this is how dark she can go. He has a knife to the victim, and at one point he hands her the knife. So because this is such, you know, she doesn't know what to do. She's holding this knife. All of a sudden she becomes complicit in this act. I mean, this is, you know, and it's, this is how well this woman can construct a story that just sort of sits with you. And she came, you know, she, you know, read off this story like, what, 2 years ago? And it still is mind boggling because, you know, this woman's like, you know, I was a rape victim, blah, blah, blah. And then later on in the story, it turns out, but he gave you the knife. What, why didn't you do something with it? You know, it's just, you know, it just stun this woman, and it just, it turned, you know, when her husband finds out, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he doesn't look at her the same way because, you know, she could have killed this guy, but she didn't, you know, she was kind of seen as a complicit person in this horrible act. But this is the type of writing Joyce Carol Oates can do. She's actually even done sort of Cthulhu type stories before, so she can actually do horror. Not really venturing into the, you know, humor aspect. Unlike Shirley Jackson, she really did know how to handle humor. But anyway, she's got a new one called Black Dahlia and White Rose, and it's broken up into four sections with so many stories in each one that doesn't, they're linked together, but it's kind of a loose type of thing. But if you're not familiar with like where we were the Mulvaneys and like the Falls and some of her other works, hit some of her short story works because they are really good. You can pick them up, put them down, and there's always a story that will sit with you. Like I said, this one, and I think it may even been unpublished, but it was supposed to have gone into one of the Neil Gaiman type edited books. And he even thought that story was too dark for this series. So it's like, no, we'll choose the other one. So, really just if you have a chance, pick up one of her books, but this is a new one. There was a review on this one, so I actually have this, already on my, iPad. I picked that up today. So I already started reading the first, story and stuff. So that's that. Oh, you could pick up if you haven't watched, Boardwalk Empire. Season one is available, and I think season two is available in January. So,
season two is available now.
Oh, it is? Okay. So yeah. If you want to know what we're talking about, this is the cool thing I love about Boardwalk Empire. It's a series based on the rise of Atlantic City. There are characters based on historical facts, such as Nucky Thompson, that he was a comptroller. But they add to the whole flair of it. The cool thing I like about this is, the time, because it's in the '20s and nobody really does anything for the '20s. It's like, you know, when you consider Hollywood films, mostly are set in the '30s, but there's a cool look to the clothes and stuff. And there was a lot of change going on in, you know, the US, especially the Prohibition. So if you want to be interested in, you know, this whole, a bunch of great actors, a great time period, you know, just seeing, you know, the rise of crime, this is a great series. And here's the cool thing is I always get ideas for Call of Cthulhu because H.P. Lovecraft wrote Call of Cthulhu in 1928. Well, it was published in 1928, but he also, you know, he read and stuff during the 20s. So it's so easy for me to pick up little things for a game that I could use for later on. So yeah, pick up Boardwalk Empire if you haven't, because, Steve Buscemi is really great. It wasn't until when did you figure out, you know, Dabney Coleman? I mean, you saw the name and you're like, oh, it was like, I don't know, like the third episode or something. You know, it's, you know, that he was in it for at least a couple seasons. So
yeah, he was great.
Yes. So yeah, pick that up. Pick up. So I'm going with those two.
Awesome. Done. All right. Thank you, Rox. All right. John, are you spent? What's happening?
Yes, sir. I would recommend you go buy the Blu-ray 4-disc edition of The Avengers, which comes out this week. Yeah. It's including the 3D version, even if you don't have a 3D, because you never know in the future, 3D may be just, you know, brought to you. In fact, actually, I understand that with this edition of the 4-disc set, Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Hemsworth actually come over to your house and reenact the entire film, and it's all in 3D. That is my understanding. And so for $29.95, that is a bargain, if I do say so. Do not hold Weekend Justice or Need Coffee accountable for anything that I just said. Also, Hunger Games, excellent DVD choice. And those are the only two things I have to suggest other than...
I have a question for you, John.
Yes, ma'am.
For Avengers.
There were five.
Now,
now
the thing is there a short film in there?
I believe there is the extra 30 minutes of footage. And if I don't have it because it doesn't come out till this week.
Oh.
Yeah. there's 30 minutes of additional footage, and if I recall correctly, this was mostly, it's going to be mostly Captain America's backstory.
No, well, there was supposed to be some sort of little,
there's a, okay, blue, hang on. There's a gag
fan,
reel.
Fan film in yeah, it or on. Something.
Well, there's a gag hang reel, on. There's other stuff that Widge is trying to tell us, but we're going to keep talking over him.
That's right.
No, there is
no,
a...
No, so there's other stuff that's happening in the DVD.
Yeah. There is
and Blu-ray, by the way. It's there's a combo pack.
Rocks, yes. The answer's yes.
Okay, so my coworker has a problem with that extra film.
Why?
Because okay, apparently well, the people that directed it and wrote it and stuff, they weren't fans. So he saw footage of them at Comic-Con.
Hey.
And basically they were making fun of, you know, Comic-Con and the fans and comic fans in general. So he's boycotting of watching that film.
Hey, Rocks, what? Do me a favor.
Yes.
Tomorrow when you go into work, go up to your coworker and tell them John
tomorrow's
says...
Tomorrow's Talk Like a Pirate Day, but you'll hear...
Okay, well then
like
here you go. Here you go. Tell him to shut the fark up.
Nice.
Okay. All right.
Because okay. you're...
I don't know. I'm just relating what he told me.
Your coworker's
like,
okay, an idiot.
Whatever.
I'm telling you right now, your coworker's an idiot. Much like most coworkers that I have met in my life, they're all idiots.
Well, I won't go that far because he saves my ass every time. So he's opinionated, but I won't say he's an idiot.
He is.
He's very opinionated.
He's boycotting.
I know.
Because
it's he's going to buy the DVD anyway. I don't know. He's just not going to watch it.
Okay.
So I don't know.
You know what? He can not watch that particular thing.
Not going to.
But there is no reason why he shouldn't go through needcoffee.com/Amazon and buy it from there. And then what he can do is he can put it on a shelf and refuse to watch it.
No. It's just that one extra that he will not watch.
Well, then don't watch it.
I know. I don't know. I'm like, okay, whatever. I'm like, okay, that's your whatever. Okay. Did you get this other job done? You know.
Do me a favor. Go up to him, take my dick and slap him across the face with it.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
Now, what you need to do now, John, is put your
that
dick
will
in the envelope.
You need to write a letter.
And that's back when you can put penises in the post.
Yeah,
you know
I can't
I mean?
Do it yeah. anymore. Although I think I can get it in the unlimited small package delivery.
No, I think. That John is used to putting his dick into mail slots. I'll say that. But
and by mail, I mean M-A-L-E. Oh, wait. That's Scott that does that. Never mind.
Oh, my gosh. Is that how your neighbors found you? We saw your penis in the mail slot.
Okay. John, return to sender. Elvis Presley, go.
Never mind. Return to sender.
Anyway, so. Oh, God. At least not teddy bear. All right. So,
I'm done.
Okay. All right, fine. All right. So here's what I would, first of all, I would say that John's absolutely correct. If you're going to purchase anything.
If you're going to slap your coworker, slap him with John's dick.
Yeah, slap him with somebody else's dick, not your own.
That is a completely different affiliate program. And, needcoffee.com/slap.
Dick slap.
That's a dick slap.
That's the borrow a dick for slapping Yahoo group.
There probably is a group like that, oddly enough.
Dick swappers. It's a different kind of swinging. Except you're swinging your dick.
New
and
incognito
you're
window.
It hard against someone else's face.
Oh my gosh. Beware of testicular torsion. Public service announcement.
So, Rox, I'm sorry. I have to ask you. If someone had a question about testicular torsion, where could they call?
Call 404-387. Not my home phone number. Where'd that number go? Oh, my gosh. It's on this little piece of paper. Holy shit. Here we go. 404-382-0769. Sunday sometime.
You're all very drunk.
August 2nd. And then there's squeeze box on this thing. And then the word Cyclops. I can't tell you.
I bet you can't.
No, I really can't.
Cyclops is what I call my Venus.
I'm sure it is. Cryops.
So which Argonaut is your wife?
Ooh.
All of them.
How would you like to see my hairy house?
I did write kill and contain on a note card now. And that's going to be interesting for any cop that shows
that's
up at my house.
3 weeks when you can't remember what the fuck it was for. Wait. Sunday sometime, underlined, kill and contain. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. So, yes, as we were, I don't know if we were saying it or not, but we're saying now. Is it yes? If you are going to buy something from Amazon, whether you're going to watch it or just buy it to give people money, then boycott the fact that you've bought it. maybe he's going to be so upset he won't speak to himself for weeks. I don't know. Whatever you're going to do, you can help out Need Coffee by buying what you were going to buy anyway, by doing it by going to the following link, which we urge you to bookmark. It's needcoffee.com/Amazon. That's it. You just go to that link. Slash, that's completely different. That takes you to a private store on the Amazon site. That takes you right to the front page of Amazon, and then anything you buy in that session, we get kickbacks for. And I was talking to somebody about this earlier this week. It is true. It doesn't matter if it's a big ticket item or a small ticket item, because the commission increases the number of items we sell, and they don't care how expensive the items are. So every 99-cent MP3 that you buy helps.
What if,
as well? Sorry.
Oh, go ahead. Finish your sentence because you might be answering it.
I was going to say, as well as the 3D 80-inch flat screen television that has a grill attachment.
Oh, I was going to ask you, what if it's free? What if it's their free MP3 of the week?
Well, I don't think we actually make any money off of that.
But
because,
does it count,
you know,
towards the bumping up the revenue?
I don't think so. So everyone's attempt to go through needcoffee.com/Amazon and then sort MP3s by 0 cents, you know, thanks, but I don't think it works that way. But anyway, so yes, if you can do that, you know, obviously you can go to needcoffee.com/support and throw some coin at us through PayPal, which a lot of you do, and it's very helpful. But I know that we are, as we careen, it's going to be Christmas soon. How terrifying is that? So as you careen towards the holidays, bookmark that, and you'll be doing us all a huge favor. Now, my recommendation is, I'm going to recommend, because it is out, I think, today as we record this, Cabin in the Woods, which is the other Joss Whedon film.
Really?
Yes. It is quite good.
Haven't heard of it.
You what?
Haven't heard of it. It is good.
It is good.
It is very good, and here's what I would recommend to John or whoever wants to watch it. Go into it knowing nothing.
Nothing.
The less you know, the more you will be gleeful at what exactly they're doing.
Right.
And it really is one of the few times in recent memory where I can think of having really enjoyed a horror film.
Mm-hmm.
From the standpoint of, I was just actually, because, you know, so many horror films are just unpleasant. So it's kind of like you're surviving the horror film. You're tolerating the horror film.
Yeah.
This was actually gleeful. I was just so happy. A happiness, the sort of happiness you got the first time you watched Reanimator, you know, the first sort of happiness that, you know, after you were completely terrified by the original Dawn of the Dead, about the fifth time you started watching it, just really got into just how much fun you were having. It's a fun horror movie. And if you know nothing about the film, but you know horror as a genre, you're going to fucking love it, because there's a lot of great nods in there that you're going to catch, and some that you're not going to be able to catch because they go by too quick. So I would definitely recommend checking that out. It's a hell of a lot of fun. Yes. And I think that's it. I would simply echo Rock's statement about Boardwalk Empire seasons 1 and 2. The Blu-rays are quite tasty, and it is a very, very good show. So, yes, that words. So I think it's, you know, I think it's time that the three survivors of this particular episode of Weekend.
I'm the sole survivor.
Indeed. She's going to stab us both when we go off the air, John. I think really that just like every week on Weekend Justice, we should end by saying kill and contain.
Slap everybody with John's penis.
Kill and contain.
Kill and contain.
Yes. Kill and contain.
Slap and contain.
Rats.
Yep.
Rats that eat that's your good. Stuff. Damn it. Damn it.
Don't doubt. Just for to be clear, make sure you buy a mouse trap for the mouse and slap someone else with John's dick.
Yeah.
I'm out of pages.
It's available, you know.
Am I supposed to read Scott's lines, too?
No.
No?
In the seamless performance
John,
of
John, if somebody wants to rent out your penis to slap people with, how much is the going rate?
I don't know, but if you want to know that information, call Help Me Rocks at
404-382-0769.
Rocks, you're such a penis pimp.
We should actually see if that telephone number still works. Hold on. Let's call ourselves in the future, shall we? What's the number again?
Yeah, we're in the future. Rob is in the past.
What's it's 404 what?
404-382-0769.
It's ROX. That's what it lost. Let's see. Do-do-do.
Good day, seeker of wisdom. You have reached the Help Me Rocks advice line. Please record your inquiry after the tone.
Ow.
Hi. This is Widget Walls calling from the past. Does this number still work? Because we were concerned. Thank you.
There you go.
I suppose future Rocks will get back to us.
That's right. Yeah,
at some point.
Yep.
By killing and containing.
At some point.
All right. We're done.
Yep.
We're done. Go home, people.
We actually made it to 3 hours.
Yes, we did. Oh, give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
Yeah, there's really nothing.
Oh my God! Of course, you know what? We'd have all sorts of stuff to talk about if we were like real hardcore sport fans.
Oh, I am. We could talk.
No, we're not going to, John. It's time for you to go.
The Bucks.
Take your dick home. Off the air.
Well,
and you know what? Go needle your wife with it.
Oh wow!
Are you implying?
No,
she's flat out saying.
Okay. Well, as long as we're clear on that.
And here's Dakota.
She does call me Needle Dick. Big Needle Dick.
All right.
It would be easier for a camel to pass through the eye of your dick than for a rich man to wind up in heaven, John.
That's right.
So true. And trust me,
I
tried.
Oh my gosh, you know, oh, never mind.